Greetings to everyone this evening in the precious name of Jesus. Appreciated being here, the song service, also the devotional. And I had to think that I'm not sure if I shouldn't just sit down and let what the brother shared sink in deeper, because it really did come from Paul the aged. Paul, when he wrote the Ephesian letter, he was an older man, and I think he was qualified to give some direction and breaking some of those, the power of old habits. And how do you do that? How do you break the power of old habits? And the message directed is to be directed tonight somewhat in relation to the elderly. And I was trying to fit these two things together. And I think that there's a lot of pointers here, and I think it fits because often when we think of older people, you hear those phrases, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And I think that's been referred to older people already. You just can't teach them new tricks. And once that thing is established in older people, can it be changed? Can an older person with negative mentality, can that be changed? Can a person that's been selfish by nature, can that be changed when he's old? Someone was just telling me today, I think it was, I'm not right sure who it was, that said there's two kind of people in the old people's home. One is the ones that are cheerful and have a smile on their face, and the other is the ones that are looking down and want to just say all their sad stories. How do you want to be? What kind of person would you like to be when you're old? And if you would be that person that is looking down and is distressed and would just wants to go back and say your old stories and bring up all those old things, can that be changed? Is it possible to change that? Do you believe it's possible to change that? Dwayne there, he's shaking his head. Do you believe that could be changed? Well, I think so. It's by the power of God. But you know, you've started rather late in your life, but it can be changed. We had an older man, Wayne Patz, has been attending our services for quite some time. Right now, he's not coming anymore. I'm not sure. We're hoping he comes back again. But he came as a very, very carnal old man, around 80 years old, and as a very carnal old man. And the day came where we felt that he committed his life to the Lord, but there was so much trash in his life. There were so many old habits in his life. There were so many things. I mean, the way he talked and the way he related and just the way... Just his life. But you know, it was amazing as we talked to him and we reminded him. And we told him that some of the words he uses, he had such a habit of bad language. And we said, it can't be part of a Christian. You can't be a Christian and have that bad language both. He said, I want to change. And we work with him and that those bad language or that bad language is getting less and less and less. Those old habits can be changed. Some of his personality traits were so abrasive, even to this side of the house. Well, he said that's the way he always did it, but he's learned Mennonites say you just don't do that in the Mennonite. But it wasn't only you don't do that, but it's not right with the way he did it. And can those habits be changed? Well, I think they can by the power of God. Someone has said, and it's interesting this evening as Jason was reading that, did I say that right? Yes, Jason was reading that. I thought, well, this is coming from Paul the aged. And probably he felt those pulls and those things right in his own life. And those things, I think, were very instructive, not only to him, but to the church. Also, before I get into the message, I'd like to just thank the church here for your hospitality and for making us feel at home. We brought our family here this morning, and they were a little nervous coming to this church that they don't know a soul. And they wondered last evening or this morning when I got up and they came in there, he said, "Dad, how were they?" And you think it'll be all right? And I said, "Oh yeah, I think it'll be all right." And I think you've done an excellent job. I want to thank you for that. I certainly appreciate it. Our children left here with a smile, and I want to thank you for that. May God bless you in that. Also, come and visit us. We went by the GPS this morning, and it took us an hour and 10 minutes, so we're not very far away. We usually have Sunday evening services every second Sunday evening, and our church services start at 9:30 Sunday mornings, and we enjoy visitors. All right, now looking again at the message. And it seemed as I was studying for this message, my mind kept being pulled into what the Bible has to say about older people. And so tonight, I'm going to try to bring this together about breaking old habits and exposing what the Bible has to say about old habits. I remember going to an old people's home one time, and this old lady was there, and she was kind of crippled, and she said, "Never get old. Never get old." And sometimes, just this past weekend, my wife and I, we took my wife's parents, they're in their 80s, we took them all the way out to Iowa. And it means stopping at restrooms more often, and when you stop to eat, it just takes longer, and it just, a lot of those things. And I had to think, you know, do I really want to get old? Do I want to get old? Well, what does the Bible say about getting old? And that's what I'd like to inspire us tonight, about what the Bible has to say about getting old. Turn with me here to Genesis chapter 47. I'd like to look here at verse 7 and 8 and 9. It says here that, "And Joseph brought in Jacob his father." Well, I think that's typical of old age. My wife's parents, they had one of their grandchildren was getting married in Iowa, and they weren't sure how they were going to get there. And some of the ones from Lancaster, it didn't work for them. It didn't. They have plans for them, and so, but for them to go to Iowa by themselves was just out of the question. And that's true. And Joseph brought in Jacob his father. So one of the things about old age is they have to be brought and they have to be taken. They need to be cared for. It's one of the part of getting older. "Brought Jacob his father and set him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, How old art thou? How old art thou?" We were at a family gathering this summer with some of my uncles, and they're getting in their upper 60s and 70s, and I think they know each other's age, but it came up again and again. Well, how old are you? It would say it in Pennsylvania Dutch. And how old are you? Well, that thing of once you get up there in age, you know, when you're 2 and 3 and 5 and 10, how old are you is a common question, but I think it comes back when you get older. How old are you? And that's exactly what Pharaoh said unto Jacob. How old art thou? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 135 and 30 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained in the days of the years of the life of my fathers and the days of their pilgrimage. Turn with me to Psalm 90. I am going to be turning to a number of scriptures tonight. I hope you don't get weary of that, but that's, I'd like to just look at the scriptures as to what the Bible says about getting older. Psalm 90, verse 9. "And all our days are passed away Oh, there was one thing I wanted that I wanted to bring out there after that that Pharaoh asked Jacob, "How old art thou?" And then when they departed, it says, "And Jacob blessed Pharaoh." And I think that's a good habit for older people to bless the younger people. And I don't think we have a lot of older people here, but if you're not older and it doesn't fit, but you can still make it a conviction in your life, and maybe you can develop some of those habits so that when you're older, that's going to be part of it. But not only that, our older people need encouragement. And maybe if you get the vision from the scriptures and how God looks at older people, you can be an encouragement to them to be what they are. But that, I think, is one of the power of breaking old habits is to get your mind off of yourself. Just exactly what Jacob did there, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Now, Pharaoh, a wicked ruler or a worldly ruler, but I think that Jacob, he had respect. It says, and he blessed him there. All right, in Psalm 90, verse 9, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath, and we spend our years as a tale that is told." I think those words are well worded. "The days of our years are 70 years old. That's 70 years old. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, which be 80, yet is there strength and labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." And then it gives us some solid pointers here in the rest of the chapter on how that we can develop some healthy habits. Maybe it's developing already today, but not only that, I believe is when they get older that they can still develop some of those habits. I remember an older man, he passed away, he had a heart attack and passed away. But a few years before he passed away, I was talking to him and I noticed that him and his wife, it just seemed like they just liked each other. Where one was, the other one was. And I commented to him and he said, "You know, I'm ashamed, but in our younger married life," he said, "we were just kind of a distance. We weren't real close." And he just made a comment about this saying of, I believe that's the power of breaking old habits. And I believe it's possible. And I believe he wanted to be a good husband to his wife. All right, now I'd like to just look at a couple habit breakers here. In verse 12, it says, "So teach us to number our days." Teach us to number our days. I believe that's a habit breaker. And then it says that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. I believe to think about that we're getting older. And I probably think about that much more since I'm in my middle age than I did when I was in my earlier life. This thing of getting older. It's hard for me to believe that we were at Hillsdale for almost 23 years now. Till spring would be 23 years that we were in Hillsdale, and I was just a young man, but it doesn't seem like a long time at all that we were there. But when I start stacking 23 years on top of 55, it's almost scary. But it's happening. And to teach us to number our days, and I believe that there is something we ought to be doing now already, is to think about numbering our days. Yes, every one of our days are on a countdown. Today is one less day than it was before. I remember our bishop back at Melita, Brother Sam S. Stolzfus, again and again, as he would get up and preach, he would say that we're one service closer to eternity. And I used to like to think about it when I was milking cows. One less milking of cows before the Lord comes. Teach us to number our days. I believe that's what the Lord wants us to do. One less water system to put in. I don't know what the rest of you do. But teach us to number our days. Verse 14. "Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad in all our days." When my wife and I, when we were just young married, we used to hear these stories about raising children, and he says, "Enjoy them while they're young, because when they're youth, it's a different story." And not only that, there's a lot more things that go with life, and My wife and I, we looked at each other and we decided we're going to enjoy every stage in life. We're going to enjoy every stage in life. And I think the Lord has blessed us to be able to do that. And sometimes we have to remind each other that the busy schedules we're in, that we want to enjoy this stage in life. And I believe that the power of breaking old habits lies right here. It says that we may rejoice and be glad in all our days. Be glad in all our days. A happy person is such wonderful to be around. And my mother lives right there next to us. She's a widow. But one of the blessings is that it seems like I can go up there and I can just depend that she's going to be cheerful. That's a blessing. That's a blessing to have that as part of their life. In Psalm 127 and 128, you have a picture of happiness. You have a happy father because he has his quiver full of them. You have a happy mother because all the children are round about the table. And you have, You have a happy father, you have a happy mother, you have happy grandparents because it talks about the next generation, and you have a happy church. Read it, Psalm 127 and 128. Happy father, happy mother, happy grandparents, and a happy church. And it's an atmosphere that I believe has a way of breaking old habits. Is happiness. But you know, that has to be fed, it has to be nurtured, it has to be encouraged, and to break those old habits. Verse 15, make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. How we look at our past is certainly has a lot of weight as to the way we are able to rejoice. And we look at our past as people that have been against us, and there's so many negatives, there's so many bitter things that happened back there. The Lord wants to take those very things and make them building blocks in our life. And the very things that Isaiah 61, I think it is, the things that the Lord can do in a person's life, those ashes that come out of a dreadful experience, he's able to bring those back up again. He's able to take those that were in prison, and he's able to set them free. And it gives a number of phrases there. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work, verse 16, appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. I believe to think about the goodness of God is a healthy habit. And I believe it's going to corrode away bad habits. It's going to corrode away bad habits. When we think about the glory, it says when we think about the work of the Lord. Verse 17, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And I'd like to think about that in relation to old age. How does the Bible look at old age? I'll be looking at a few more verses in relation to that just soon. In Genesis 15:15, there it says, he's talking to Abraham there, and he says that I'll bring you to a good old age. That doesn't sound very negative, does it? I'll bring you to a good old age. It uses that descriptive word good, to a good old age. That's how the Bible describes it. I'd like to look at just a few chapters or a few verses here. In 1 Samuel chapter 12. Verse 2. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 2. I'm going to read there verse 1. It says, and Samuel said unto all Israel, behold, I have Hearken unto all your voice and all that ye have said unto me, and I have made a king over you. Oh, this is Samuel speaking here. And now behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and gray-headed. And behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. Then he wanted them to say, if I have failed them. But I believe one of the keys to, and I don't know how I'll act, but I believe one of the keys to breaking old habits is to accept that you're old. That's something I keep listening, and I think part of that is that they just like to talk. I see these old people getting together and they talk to each other about how old they are, and then they laugh about it. But I think they want to sound like, oh, they're not old, and yet they know they are. But the bottom line is, I think that there's a place to accept that you're old. And it says, and behold, the king walked with people. I am old and gray-headed. One of the things that I think is can be a blessing to older people, and that is when they accept that they're old and gray-headed or they're getting older, I think phrases like that he must increase and I must decrease. And that is not always easy for an older person. Someone has said that there's an older bishop in our constituency that said that one of the things that he's noticed is that about at the age of 65, bishops are looking for a way out. They think they've about done their work, and they're looking kind of for a way out. And they say something to the church about maybe being replaced or doing something, or at least stepping down. And the church isn't ready. Church not ready to. I mean, they're 65 and they're quite active yet. But he said that one of the things that he observed, and that is, let them get about 70 or 80. And the church, or 70 or 75, and the church is ready to put him out, and the old man doesn't want to sit down. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. Once they get up there and they get older, it seems like these things start fading away, and they want to hang on to everything they got. And they want to take every opportunity. I think that's a sign of old age. But I think it's a blessing when people accept their old age. My father-in-law, he was a minister, and preached many, many messages. And he's getting feeble. He's 82. And I said something to him here some time ago about why he doesn't come to Hillsdale and preach another message for us. And old Daniel, he said, I'd love to, but he said, I want to sit back here and listen. He said, those days are really gone for me. I'm not saying he never gets up behind the pulpit and maybe has a short devotional or something, but I think he's accepted that he's gotten old. He simply accepted it. Not only that, that acceptance shines out in his life, and he becomes, to me, he's almost a role model of what the scripture says about old people, and I'll be talking about that just a little bit later. Another example of passing that on is in 2 Samuel chapter 19. Verse 34, and Barzillai said unto the king, how long have I to live? Now, I'm going to back up just a little bit here. In verse 31, and Barzillai the Gileadite came down from Rogelium and went from Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. Now, Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old. He was 80 years old. And he had provided for the king the sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. And the king said unto Barzillai, come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. And Barzillai said unto the king, how long have I to live, that I should go up with the king to Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old, and I can discern between good and evil. And can I discern between good and evil? And can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore, then, should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? The servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king, and why should the king recompense me with such a reward? Let thy servant, I pray thee, Turn back again that I may die in my own city and be buried by the grave of my father and of my mother. But behold, thy servant Chileam, let him go over with my lord the king and do to him what shall seem good unto thee. And that's what the king did then. But there was a few things I think were very commendable here about Barzillai. And that is, one thing, he accepted his old age. And not only that, he was ready to pass the mantle on. I believe that there can be that's a good habit-breaking thing. And that is that they're ready to pass on the mantle to someone else. Elijah did it with Elisha. And I believe that that's a good thing for older people to do and to get involved in. Some of the things that stand out, older people, they're not all the same. King David, in 1 Kings 1:1, it says that King David, he was old and he was stricken in years. And they covered him with clothes, but he had no heat. That there is a sign of old age. And they can, you know, some of us, we can go out and we don't hardly have, we just have a light jacket, but you know, they want caps and socks and hats and shoes, and they want all the paraphernalia that goes with trying to stay warm. And I think that's part of old age. But then when you look at Deuteronomy chapter 34, I'm going to just quickly look at that. Deuteronomy chapter 34. We have Moses in Deuteronomy 34, verse 7. And Moses was 120 years old when he died, and his eyes was not dim, nor his natural force abated. So not all older people are the same. Some still have a lot of spunk. Even though they get to be 100 or 90 years old, they still have a lot of spunk. But you know, he died. Old people must die. Young people can die. Jacob in Genesis 47:9. Just note some of the differences here. Genesis 47, verse 9. Oh, I did read that. I don't think I'll read that again. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth, upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. I was going to go over Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and the signs of old age. I'm going to just briefly touch just a few of those things. But it says there that make your decision to follow Christ before you get old. Because you get old, there's no pleasure in life anymore. Good things don't hold the same luster that they used to have. In verse 2, no sooner is one cloud blown over till another one comes. And I see that. It seems like about one sickness comes and one leg is sore, and then it's the arm that's sore, and it's just one thing comes and another one goes. They're just seized with another one. The members of the body tremble. They shake. They have few teeth. Their sight is going out. They stay at home and small things bother them. Even just the grasshopper, the burden of the grasshopper bothers them. Just little jobs. We went into my father-in-law's here some time ago, and he had a door that needed fixed, and there was a leak in the... And it was just an overwhelming job. And so I crawled underneath there and fixed that thing underneath the sink there. And, oh, you done already? Well, to him, it was just a burden. And we fixed that door. And, I mean, when I went in, I thought I'm going to almost have a day's work. And probably an hour and a half or so, I was done. It's a burden. And I'm starting to feel a little bit of that. I'm not where my father-in-law is by a pretty long shot, I think. But I'm starting to feel a little bit of that. Things are bigger burdens. And it's... My boys want to unload two loads of hay after 7 o'clock in the evening. And I don't feel like unloading one. So, and I used to. But I think that's part of it. Afraid of height. They don't. Bravery is replaced by fears. Their hair turned gray or white. Their zeal is gone. Their contemporaries are dying. They go to a lot of funerals and viewings, and it's their ones that they were close to. It was their peers. My father-in-law, in one side of his family, he said that there's two of us left of the cousins. He said, if she goes, I'm the only cousin left. If I go, she's the only one left. They go to their long home. If you read there in Ecclesiastes 12, they wonder when their turn is going to be. They think about that. When's my turn going to be? Now I'd like to think about some of the place of the elderly. Not only, I think, are they in the habit-breaking business, but some of the place of the elderly. Turn with me to Philemon verse 9. This is Paul speaking here to Philemon. Verse 9, it says that, yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such and one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Paul did two things here. One thing is that it says for love's sake. And one of the things that inspires me with the elderly that are among us is that when I talk to them, and there's nothing new for tears to be running down their faces, when they think of the churches, when they think of their families, how many of those tears are tears of love? For love's sake. I believe that there's a very valuable place. You know, my father, he passed away of cancer, and I related to him quite frequently. He lived right next to us there. And some of the final admonitions, the last night before he passed away, our family went up to sing. And as the children were going out the door, he waved to them, for love's sake. The next thing that Paul did here is says, I beseech thee. You know, when a person becomes older, his commandments are really, he's kind of past that stage, but he's not past the stage of beseeching. He's not past the stage of saying the truth. I mean that there's something very valuable for older people to do. With love, I beseech thee. It says as Paul the aged. Titus 2. Verses 1 to 5. Paul, a servant of God, Titus 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given too much wine, teachers of good things. Now that's talking, that's quite some habit, solid habits there, isn't it? That's aged men sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. That's some solid habits there. But how to break old habits, I think, is surrendering them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone has said that to break a habit, you need to do it 21 times. I don't know where that comes out or how that works, but you need to do it 21 times. They said the way to remember a memory verse, and maybe this is good for the children, maybe it's good for daddies too. If you want to remember your memory verse, why say it over and over for 21 times. And he said it has a way of sticking. And I tried that. I'm kind of old to make it stick so hard anymore, but it does help. 21 times. So if you want to break some old habits, I think the message finally is persistence. And it doesn't all happen overnight. But I think the message is persistence. And then it says the aged women likewise. And in verse 4, it says that they may teach the young women to be sober. talked about the aged women, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. And I think that this teaching program is not only for the aged women, but I think there's a lot of treasure in that. Luke chapter 2. Verse 37. It says here, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. An excellent example of how to live as an older person. Departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Proverbs 16:31, the hoary head is a crown of glory if, you know what the rest of it says? If it be found in the way of righteousness. An old king that can't be told. See, I didn't think about that verse till right now. But an old king, well, it doesn't have a very good word for him that he can't be told. But a hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. So I think righteousness is what crowns him. In Psalm 148, verse 12, there it talks about everyone that ought to be coming together. Include the older people with your worship. I don't have time to look at it here, but I believe, to me, at Hillsdale for quite a number of years, we didn't have very many older people. And now we have some older people. And I think older people have a way of perfecting the life of a church. And so don't be afraid when you have older people coming into your church. And sometimes that the only way that happens is that we're going to have to do it by ourselves. But don't be afraid of older people. They have a way of balancing the church. Maybe they don't have a lot to say, but there's a lot of value in including them in our worship. I'm inspired with older people that are so enthused about God's word. Though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I'm sure that there's a lot of other things that we can look at or consider. I'd like to just think a little bit about our responsibility to the elderly. And I found that rather inspiring. And I'd just like to share several verses here yet and the end of this message about our responsibility to the elderly as younger ones. Being that we don't have a lot of elderly here, well, I'd like to think about that just a little bit. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 to 4, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, and the younger as sisters. Notice there, it says, don't rebuke them, but entreat them. I think that's the right way to relate to the elderly, is to entreat them. It says, honor widows that are widows indeed, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents. To requite their parents, or it says to pay back their parents. It can be in respect. Sometimes it's financially. Sometimes it's simply taking care of them and meeting their needs. I know in taking care of my father would usually say, oh my, I just feel bad that you have to come up here and help me take my showers and you have to do this. But notice there it says that we need to be paying back. I used to tell my dad, well, I said, you, Mom, you did that many a night for me. And, you know, you changed my diapers and you cleaned me up and you did all these things. Well, the Bible says here that we should pay them back. We should pay them back. that's not where it stops. Some of the most beautiful words in Scripture are, "For that is good and acceptable with God." Does God see it? Does God recognize it? I believe he does. And to do something that is good and acceptable with God, what else do we want? It's not the big splashes in life. But we have it when we're involved in work that is good and acceptable with God. It's to pay back our parents. In Job 32, I think we need to be listening to their advice. Elihu there, he kept quiet because the others were all older. Even though that some of their advice was not the best and they were a little bit off in some of their thoughts and ideas, yet I think they respected them. Rehoboam would have done himself a tremendous amount of good if he would have listened to the advice of the older brother. The older one said, "Yes, the taxes are pretty heavy. Back off on them. Listen to what they're saying. And just go a little more easy on the taxes." The younger man, he went and counseled with the younger man. He says, "Hey, these men, they're rising up and they're just suck it to them. Just tax them heavier, because all they need is that they just need a bigger stick." Well, he listened to the younger man, but Rehoboam would have done himself a tremendous favor by just listening to some of the advice of the older ones. In Job 12:12, I'm going to have to turn to that. I didn't write that verse down. Some of these verses I wrote down, and some of them I didn't. Job 12:12. It says, "With the ancient is wisdom, and with the length of days is understanding." I was working in Newton Hamilton. We were painting a roof on a house, and for an older man. And when we were done there, I had this little brush that I wanted to clean up. I wanted to stick it in something so it doesn't dry up. And I looked around in this old man's shop to see if he had anything, and there were several things in there, but they just weren't quite big enough to stick this brush in. Said something to the old man, if he has anything. "Oh yeah," he said, "there's ought to be something out there in the shop that'll work." And he went over there and he looked around a little bit and he said, "Oh, this'll work." I said, "No, that can isn't big enough." He just took that can and just squashed it together a little bit, and my paintbrush went right in. With the ancient there is wisdom. Well, maybe that's just a paintbrush, but I like to say that there is an intuition in older people. They've traveled that road. They know the path. They don't know all the psychologics. They don't know all the explanations. They don't know all those things. But with the ancient, there is wisdom. And they have a lot of good, solid advice for us. The older people can be tempted with discouragement. In Psalm 71:9, "Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth." Proverbs 17:6, "Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers." Leviticus 19:32, "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God. I am the Lord." I'd like to close with Isaiah 46:4. "Even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs where I carry you I have made, I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you." Let's pray.